This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. It's the morning after Judge Michael Seabright sentenced Catherine Kealoha to 13 years in federal prison. Her husband, Louis, got 17 years. The disgraced former Honolulu police chief and the former deputy city prosecutor will spend time behind bars for their part in trying to frame a relative and for a list of financial and public corruption crimes. This morning, we talked to Alex Silvert, who just retired from the Federal Public Defender's Office and who was the one who got the FBI to take a closer look at the case involving Gerald Puana and his mother, the late Florence Puana.
For me, it's the end of 7.5 years of working on this case, and, you know, so it's a little bittersweet in that way. And it was also, it's kind of the end of my career as a public defender. So I had some emotional reaction to it in that sense. But for, what I was listening to and how, Judge Seabright really seemed to understand most of the case and the facts of the case and what the Kealohas had done and the breadth and the depth of what they had done, the extent of the manipulation of the law and the abuse of the law that these two people had accomplished successfully, but for the case coming into federal court and but for us being able to find some of this evidence and, but for his obviously intentional answer to the question which caused a mistrial, that's what set up my ability to go to the FBI and get them interested and get them to investigate it in the first place. So but for that, none of this would have been discovered and have come out, and we would just have continued on. Chief Kealoha would probably still be the chief. Catherine Kealoha would still be running the career offender unit. So it's amazing when you look back at the small things that tripped them up that we were able to expose and finally get the FBI to look at. And here we are 7 years later, and this is the result. And it was heartening to see that Judge Seabright understood what had happened, understood how corrupt it was, and really called it like it was. And so that was heartwarming.
Just for Joe Citizen, when you think of what was lost, the integrity of those offices, the Honolulu Police Department, the city prosecutor's office. It's just so sad.
It is, in the sense of the damage that has been done. And in that sense, it is. But in another sense, this needed to happen. We need to correct the course that we're on. We need to have some oversight. We need to clean our house. And if this is what it took, then it's a very good thing. I understand to a lot of people it's ugly, it's damaging, they'd like to put it behind them, but I really think it should be an eye-opener that this could occur and then analyze it and then figure out how to stop it from happening in the future. And unfortunately, I think there was momentum to do that as this case developed, and especially after they were convicted. I think to a great extent the powers that be that don't want change are winning.
Well, the Justice Department did prevail in this investigation, and it does show that our system works, that justice does prevail, and it did in this case.
It did. It took a while, as Judge Seabright said. It took a long time, and he doesn't understand why it took a long time. But yes, ultimately, justice prevailed in this case, and that's a great thing, and that's good, and we should all be proud of that.
What were you thinking when you were listening to the hearing as Catherine Kealoha was sentenced? Because she was sentenced in the morning, and then the chief took his lickings in the afternoon. But what was going through your mind when you heard the reasoning behind the judge's decision to give Catherine Kealoha more than what was asked for?
Well, it's a complicated sentencing scheme in federal court, and we have these federal sentencing guidelines, and he spelled them out. In her case, it was 97, I believe, to 121 months was the guideline range, but there is law that allows you to vary upwards if there are facts that haven't adequately been taken into consideration. So there was no doubt in my mind, because Judge Seabright had made it clear earlier on, that he was going to go higher. The jury verdict was kind of a mess in the sense that the conspiracy count allowed the jury to find four different reasons for the conspiracy, and the jury misunderstood, and they checked off only one box when they could have checked off four different reasons. And the box they checked off was the obstruction of justice, which happened to be the lowest guidelines. So instead of checking off obstruction of justice and civil rights violation, which they could have and which they later said they would have had they understood that that's what they could have done, the guidelines would have been higher. So Judge Seabright understood that and knew and had told the parties he was going to go higher than what the 97 to 121 months range was. I was surprised he didn't even go higher than he did. You know, I predicted that he was going to give a sentence about where he did because the government was asking for 144 months. So I didn't think he was going to do that. I thought he would go a little lower. But after listening to him talk for 35 minutes and just really lay out the crimes that Catherine Kailoa had committed, I was feeling like he was going to go much higher. And so he only ended up going to 132, which is a lot. I mean, let's not belittle that. 13 years in prison is a long, long time. But given what I heard him say, I actually thought he was going to go higher.
Interesting. And then now what about the many lives that were just wrecked in the wake of this whole investigation?
Yeah, you know, what was really heartening to me was to listen both to Gerard's allocution, which was read by Eric Seitz, and to his sister's allocution on behalf of Florence. You know, the Puana family really has it together. I mean, they're a big family. They were a close family. They're, you know, longtime Hawaii family, lots of friends and neighbors and people who they know. And they gave a very elegant and eloquent speech to the judge, allocution, as victims of the crime about the impact that it had. I thought those two allocutions by them were really, really heartfelt, touching, and meaningful. And that, to me, was a highlight of the sentencing hearing, was listening to those two people talk about the damage that had been done to their family, you know, from their inside perspective.
And he also talked about the public servants that were injured in this, the judge did, you know, whether it's the police department, because it was the chief's involvement and the abuse of power. And then also, I think there was reference to former city ethics director Chuck Tato.
Right. And you know, it was a one-line reference to Chuck Tato, but it stood out because one of the people who've really been forgotten, I mean, there are actually two people that, for me, who were really severely damaged by this case and by what the KLOs did, who have been completely forgotten, is Chuck Tato and Lisa DeCaris from the Ethics Commission. I mean, their lives were ruined, and they were destroyed falsely by the KLOAs and by the city and county who backed up the KLOAs, and by the ethics commissioners who backed up and believed the KLOAs without further investigation. And those two people's lives and what has happened to them has really been lost in all this. And it was nice, very nice, that Judge Seabright made at least one mention, that Chuck Tato, his life, you know, had been ruined, and then he was a good and honest public servant. And there are, you know, look, not all police officers are corrupt. HPD as a whole is a very good law enforcement entity, and there are, you know, a lot of good officers who are being tarnished and blemished by this, and that's a shame that that's happened.
And any other thoughts on the chief sentencing?
I thought that was a reasonable sentence in the sense of, you know, he was looking at about 5 years in jail and the judge went up to 8 years. And for a man who's 60 years old and for a man who was the chief of police, you know, that's a significant sentence because he's going to have a hard time in jail. You know, when you go into a jail, no matter where it is, as a chief of police, there are going to be other inmates who aren't going to be so happy with you. So he's going to have a tough time in jail. Now, there are federal prisons that are specifically designated to house law enforcement officers who are convicted of crimes. So he's not going to just be thrown into a normal prison and be subjected to other inmates who he may have helped prosecute in terms of, you know, HPD. So he's going to be somewhat protected, but it's not going to be easy for him. So I thought, you know, Judge Seabright really, again, wasn't going to let him off the hook. He was the chief of police. Judge Seabright made it very clear that he believed that Louis Kailoa knew exactly what was going on and allowed it, not only allowed it to happen, but made it happen. So he didn't let him off the hook at all. And I thought the sentence was very appropriate.
That was newly retired federal public defender Alex Silbert talking about the Kealoha case that he brought to the attention of federal investigators more than 7 years ago. Silbert tells us he's been writing a book about his experience, and he hopes to get that published soon. Two Honolulu police officers are facing Judge Michael Seabright today in sentencing hearings for their part in the public corruption probe.